You're listening to special coverage of the 2022 election from Wisconsin Public Radio.
Well, hello and welcome to this debate for the 95th district in the Wisconsin State Assembly. My name is Anthony Trigoski, and I'm an assistant professor of political science at the University of Wisconsin-La Crosse. Thank you so much for joining us today. The candidates for the 95th Assembly District are Representative Jill Billings and Chris Woodard. Representative Billings is the candidate of the Democratic Party, and Mr. Woodard is the candidate of the Republican Party. The format for this debate is as follows. Each candidate will receive up to 1 minute for an opening statement. Then the members of our media panel will take turns asking questions of the candidates. When asked a question, each candidate will have up to 1 minute to respond. We will alternate which candidate responds first to each question and which candidate responds second. As moderator, I may opt to extend a round of questioning by giving each candidate an additional 30 seconds to engage in further discussion. We'll conclude the debate with closing statements by each candidate. Our media panel today features Ken Kazarowski from WKBT News 8 Now, Joe Minnie from WXOW News 19, Bob Heiss from the La Crosse Tribune, Ezra Wall from Wisconsin Public Radio, and Rick Solem from WIZM Radio. The League of Women Voters of the La Crosse area is generously providing assistance with keeping track of speaking time. And of course, we appreciate the League of Women Voters' valuable support of this debate. To make everything go smoothly, we simply ask that the candidates refrain from interrupting one another. And I ask that the candidates respect the time limits for their responses. I will reinforce time cues as needed during the debate. Through a random draw, we have determined that Representative Billings will go first and Mr. Woodard will go second. I'm sorry, Mr. Woodard will go first in the opening statements and Representative Billings will go second. Mr. Woodard, you have up to 1 minute for your opening statement.
Good evening, everyone. I'm Chris Woodard. A little bit about myself here. I live in La Crosse, obviously. I'm married, have a five-year-old daughter. I work at Quick Trip Incorporated in human resources. I am also a city council member here in La Crosse, district number 9. Also the chairman of the Washburn Neighborhood Association. A little bit more about myself. I worship just down the street at Our Savior's Lutheran Church. I really take pride in my neighborhood and everything else about it. We are one of the first families to have the renovation loan through La Crosse Promise. And that's also a really big deal for our neighborhood. So it's great to have everybody here tonight, and thanks for having me.
Thank you, Representative Billings.
Thank you. And I'd like to thank Professor Trigoski and members of the media and the League of Women Voters for hosting us tonight. 32 years ago, I moved to La Crosse. And like most people, I fell in love with the area. I got a job at the Friendship Program teaching English as a second language and citizenship to Hmong adults. It was a great job, but I worked my way out of it as my students went out into the community and went to further schooling at Western. I then served 8 years on the county board, focusing on health and human services, and then had the honor of being elected to the 95th Assembly 11 years ago, where I've worked hard, listening to the people I represent, being very present and engaged in my community, passing legislation every session. Even though I'm in the minority, I have worked hard with both sides of the aisle and found common ground. I think my reputation in Madison is very good, and I'm running again because there's more that I'd like to do for the people of the 95th.
Thank you, Representative Billings. We will go to Representative Billings in our first round of questioning. Our questioning will start with Ken Kazarowski of WKBT News 8 Now.
Thanks, Anthony, and thank you, candidates, for sharing your time with us tonight. The city of La Crosse is in the middle of an unsheltered crisis, with Unsheltered and Huska Park having to go somewhere else at the end of this month. The county board has passed an emergency sheltering plan to spend $169,000 of leftover 2018 money for hotel vouchers. But this spending is different from last year's efforts with the Ocana Lodge, and the recent Monitor Street affordable housing plan fell through. Now, homelessness is not just a La Crosse problem, but long-term solutions seem difficult to find at the local level. So as a state legislator, what would you try to do to address homelessness?
Representative Billings.
I think that we can all agree that the situation that we've had in La Crosse with so many people living in a hotel together and so many people camping down on Huska Park is not ideal. In the legislature, I actually supported then Lieutenant Governor Clayfish's plan to work with homeless to get people sheltered and do workforce training to get people back on the right track. Unfortunately, her side of the aisle would not listen and approve of that package. The governor's, I think, taken some good steps in the right direction with the Interagency on Homelessness. I know Mike Bassford, the head of that agency, was here looking at our problem here in La Crosse, but certainly we need a regional response to this. And I think that there's a lot that we can do in the state legislature to help the good work that's being done by people here like Coolie Cap, Salvation Army, and Catholic Charities.
Thank you, Representative Billings. Mr. Woodard.
So I can speak on this too, because we at the city have to deal with this quite frequently. I think, you know, when it comes down to it, seeing it firsthand, I think one of the biggest things that we have a challenge as a city is addressing those issues of mental health crises and drug and alcohol addiction. We don't have those services here at the city. And I think it would be a great opportunity to bring the state into it and bring the health and human services element that they have and provide these services to the people that need help and get them back on track. You know, as Representative Billings has said, this is a regional issue, not just a regional issue, but a statewide issue, nationwide issue. And I think that we have enough great people around in the community, in the region, the state, we can come up with a solution that helps everyone.
Thank you, Mr. Woodard. Now we head over to Joe Minnie of WXOW News 19. And with this question will be directed to Mr. Woodard first.
With the legalization of marijuana, do you support legalization of it, one? And two, how would you think if we do pass legalization, how do you think it would benefit Wisconsin?
Great question, as one that's I'm somewhat passionate about. I am for legalization of marijuana. There's many great opportunities here for the state. I think that as we look around states surrounding us, we're losing valuable money to those states from people of Wisconsin going across the border. We all know that. We have avenues here in the state that we can't fund, you know, education being one of them, other items, you know, we can't fund our police at appropriate levels. Imagine if we had a tax revenue that we would have oodles and oodles of money to put towards things. I'm sorry, my computer just is doing weird things right now. But I do think that legalization of marijuana is something that the state of Wisconsin needs to do. I think we're behind the ball. We're behind all other states. And thank you for that question.
Thank you, Mr. Woodard. And your video is coming through just fine. Now we go to Representative Billings.
Yes, Wisconsin is an island. States around us have passed medical marijuana or recreational marijuana. The majority of people in Wisconsin want recreational marijuana. I think that there are states like Colorado who have legalized long enough so that we can look at models in other states to hopefully pick something that will work here in Wisconsin. But we have to be vigilant and make sure that we have a good model that has certain restrictions set up so that we can safely have dispensaries for marijuana in Wisconsin. If passed, the benefit for us, I see, is certainly increase in tax revenues, as other states have seen. I also have talked to people who are suffering and use marijuana to help with medicinal purposes. So I know that there are some people who would see benefit there. Honestly, I don't see this passing under the current Republican administrations and leadership in the Senate and Assembly.
Thank you, Representative Billings. Now we head over to Bob Heiss of the La Crosse Tribune. A question for Representative Billings.
Wisconsin's at a 21-year high for school referendums on the ballot. And there's a number this year, but of course the big one is the La Crosse School District referendum that about the addition of a new high school and everything around it. It's generating the most letters to the editor in an election season with a lot of things on the ballot. I wonder, since this is in the heart of your district, where you both stand on that referendum.
Representative Billings.
So I see a problem with the lack of funding from the state for school districts where they have to continually go to referendum, not just for buildings, but especially worrisome is when they have to go for regular services just to be able to pay teachers and to keep the doors open. The problem with that is that we end up with unequal school districts. And an important tenet is that we have equal public education for all kids. But when you live in a district where maybe people are more supportive of referendum, then kids in that district have access to more. So that's a problem that we have. Regarding our local referendum, I appreciate the work that the school board has done on this. For me personally, I can't get to yes, not under the current plan, and I'd like to see some more options.
Thank you. Mr. Woodard.
My views on the local referendum, I'm sure we're looking for a yes or no answer, so I'll go right off the bat and say no, I am not for this. I think we have opportunities to pursue a better plan. There's a lot of faults in the current plan. I think we're leaving out a big portion of our community on the island, and the north side particularly, where students are already disadvantaged, and adding, you know, a centralized location like they have isn't going to work out well for the community. We're losing walkability to our neighborhood schools. We're creating more traffic, creating more carbon emissions. And essentially that goes into our, against our climate action plan that we have here in the city of La Crosse. I think that there's opportunity for better land use. And the next time around, I think the school board can learn and we can have more community engagement and a little bit more transparency when it comes down to it.
Thank you. Ezra Wall of Wisconsin Public Radio is next with a question for Mr. Woodard.
Let's stay on the topic of education for a moment and talk about teachers. As nationally, we're seeing teachers find their way out of education and into other professions. I'm wondering what can be done at a state level in Wisconsin to recruit the best teachers. Is it simply a matter of pay, or are there ways that systems can be set up to make sure that teachers have the mental health space that they need to maybe deal with the stresses of their jobs? What can we do?
I think there's a lot of avenues that go into why we're losing teachers or they're going to different professions. I think number one issue is probably pay. If you're not getting paid, it's going to be really hard to attract the top talents. And I think as a state, we need to work harder, you know, at the university level to keep these good teachers, incentivize them to stay in the state of Wisconsin. And then also we do need to have spaces for them, for their mental health. That goes for both the teacher and the students. We're seeing mental health issues in students. We're seeing behavioral issues in students. And I think those all play one in one. If you have a behavioral issue with students, it creates a hard day. And I don't think anybody wants to sign up for that. And I think that's why we start seeing people move away from them professions.
Thank you. Representative Billings.
Teachers are vital to quality education. And since Act 10, unfortunately, fewer and fewer people are going into the profession. There were times when administrators talked about getting 300 applications for a position, and there are some positions now where they get one application for the position. I was on campus this last week talking to education students, and usually every year I'm invited in to visit with them, and it was inspiring to hear of their energy and their desire to still be teachers and their love of children. And I think we talked about some things that we could do. I'd like to work on in the upcoming session. One is look at the FORT test that teachers have to take to qualify to be teachers. I think there are some problems with that, and we can allow some flexibility with that. I think student teachers should get a stipend. I think there are a lot of things we can do to encourage people to come into the profession, and I look forward to working on that in the upcoming year.
Thank you. Rick Solem of WIZM is next with a question for Representative Billings.
All right, why has the town of Campbell been on bottled water for well over a year and a half, and what should be done about it?
I think that's a great question, and that's one of the issues that I put a lot of time into, whether it's out talking on the island to folks who are still drinking bottled water, whether it's being at press conferences with Josh Call, who wants to hold polluters responsible, with the governor, who with me and other Democrats have co-sponsored the Clear Water Act. We need to do more. I've given 2 floor speeches on this. I'm passionate about this issue. We're seeing the tip of the iceberg with PFAS on the island, and we're seeing more and more every month, more and more cases of PFAS in Wisconsin. We've got to get Republicans to come along with us on this issue. And I think as more and more Republicans are finding this PFAS in their district, that we're going to have some movement on this upcoming session.
Thank you. Mr. Woodard.
So in 2014, the City of La Crosse started testing for PFAS in the water, and since then had found PFAS in the water. In 2020, the mayor called the town of Campbell to notify them that there was PFAS found on the island near the airport. Since 2014, little to no action has been taken by the state, the city, or anybody in regards to that. I think we're working with a ticking time bomb, and the time is now. There's people on the island who can't drink out of their faucets, which to me is just completely unacceptable. We don't live in a third world country. We live in the United States of America, where water is a right. And to those people on the island, I'm listening. I hear you every day, and I'm going to go to bat for you guys, because I think this is a huge issue that we need to take care of, whether that be propagating or procuring municipal water sources or mitigating that contamination in your wells. I'm ready to work for you on that issue.
Thank you. Let's head back to Ken Kazarowski of WKBT News 8 now. This question will start with Mr. Woodard.
And I want to touch back on this wave of referendum that we're seeing in many municipalities. Dozens of school districts statewide are going to referendum for additional funding to exceed state-imposed revenue caps. And 20 municipalities across the state are trying to raise their tax levies to fund more first responders, including Holman. Now, currently, municipalities can raise levies either by the percentage of new construction year to year or by turning to referendum. Would you support the state raising revenue caps or changing the way that levies for municipalities can be changed?
Absolutely. I think as times change, money has different values. And I think to continue on a path to have great communities, safe communities, and good schools, I think that we need to continue to fund them in appropriate levels, whether that be, you know, through levy limit increases or revenue cap increases as well. All across the state, we all have different issues going on in the community. Like you said, whether it be safety, whether it be schools, it's something that we as a state need to do better at. And I think that having somebody new down in the state to have a new look on these things and work a little bit harder on these items, I think that I'm that guy for that job.
Thank you. Representative Billings.
Yes, there has been an issue with shared revenue for quite a while now. When I was serving on the county board, I saw firsthand and experienced the difficulty of making budgets work while providing services that were mandated by the state of Wisconsin. Since being elected as an assembly representative, I and so many other Democrats have been beating the drum of increasing shared revenue or allowing more flexibility for local governmental units. And I'm happy to see this year that more and more of my Republican colleagues have come to join us with that feeling that really our locals need relief. They need more shared revenue or more flexibility in order to perform the services that are required of them.
Thank you. Next up is Joe Minnie of WXOW News 19, a question for Representative Billings.
Okay, so the state currently has a $4.3 billion budget surplus. What do you propose the state does with that extra money? Do they hold on to it? Do we give it back to the taxpayers? What is your thoughts on that?
Yes, I believe that we're in a situation where our rainy day fund is full. Our surplus funds are flush. And because of our situation now with rising inflation, rising costs of fuel, rising costs of groceries, that people need relief. I think that money should go back into the pockets of the taxpayers. And I know the governor feels the same way. He proposed this months ago. And unfortunately, politics got involved in all of this. So people have to wait a little bit until after the elections. But I believe that that funding should go back to taxpayers.
Thank you. Mr. Woodard.
So I think that as a state, we do need to focus on sending at least a portion of that surplus back to the taxpayers because it's rightfully their money. We can also do other things with the surplus. We can cut income taxes for middle-class families or look at eliminating personal property taxes and funding that shortness or the short money that the municipalities would get from that personal property income or the personal property tax. But I think that we need to go about it in a smart way. We need to not go at it like it has in the past with reckless government spending. I think that we need to be smart because we can make a change with this money that is out there.
Thank you. Let's head over to Bob Heiss of the La Crosse Tribune. A question for Mr. Woodard.
I wonder what you're hearing when you go, when you're campaigning, whether it's door to door in groups, it may be the top issue, but also, are you hearing concerns about the election, the integrity of the election? And is that prevalent at a local level like this? Are you hearing it?
I'm not hearing anything about election integrity. I believe that we have, you know, great poll workers. We have people that watch over the polls. We have that stop, you know, that where nothing can happen. We have great city clerks who aren't in the business of making elections go haywire. I think that it's time that that everybody trusts the process. I don't think that anything is going to go wrong this election. And that's all I can say on it. I believe in the elections, and I think everybody else should as well.
Thank you. Representative Billings.
So, Bob, you asked what I'm hearing as I'm knocking on doors. And so for me, knocking on doors is an energizing thing. I hear it's really usually a very, very good response. So for me, it's always a good experience talking to people in my district and hearing about their concerns and how their lives are going. I hear people talking about inflation. Concerns about making their family budgets work. And so I talk a lot about giving taxpayer dollars back. I do hear from people, probably every time I've been knocking on doors, there's been one person who has said, yeah, I don't think I'm voting this time. It's just gotten all too weird for me. Whether it's the negativity of the campaigns or their concerns about how things are being run. So it's a nice opportunity to talk to people and say, I'm here, I care. And I believe that our elections are safe and solid and secure.
Thank you. Let's head over to Ezra Wall of Wisconsin Public Radio, a question for Representative Billings.
Staying with that subject of elections for a minute, some traditionally marginalized groups, I'm thinking of people in poverty, people from racial minorities and so on, continue to say that they do face obstacles that make voting harder for them. What, if any, efforts should the state take to alleviate those concerns?
Yes, I think that it's important that we work as a government to make sure that everybody who can vote should be able to vote, and they should easily be able to vote, right? So I oppose some of the legislation that Republicans came up with at our last day in session, and we were on the floor till very late at night. I was calling my clerk and checking in with her and seeing if some of the legislation would even work for our great hardworking clerks that run the elections. And unfortunately, I saw legislation that was really aimed toward making it more difficult for certain people to vote. And I've seen that over the years, whether it's the elderly in nursing homes or students. And I'm constantly fighting against those efforts to stop people from voting.
Thank you. Mr. Woodard.
I think we do a great job here in the state of Wisconsin getting people out to vote, whether that be people picking up friends who aren't able to drive to the polls or city buses offering free rides to the polls. I think, no questions asked, I think we do a great job at it. As far as other things going on with the election, I think, you know, as long as you have a voter ID or ID of some sort, you should be allowed to vote. I don't see any other issues. The legislation that's been in the legislative branches is questionable at times. And I don't want to make it any harder for people to vote. As long as you're able-bodied to vote and are a person that's you know, a legal immigrant or a legal citizen of the United States, I think that you should be able to vote.
Thank you. Let's head to Rick Solem of WIZM. A question for Mr. Woodard.
All right. Last session, only 2% of bills sponsored by Democrats in the Wisconsin State Legislature got a hearing. 2%. Much less a vote. They got a hearing, much less a vote. Over Evers' four-year term, Republicans have gaveled in and out of special sessions he's called 11 times. How do we bring this back to the middle where people's voices are being heard and they're being represented?
Great question, Rick. I think it comes down to having a person that is really, that really wants to work in a bipartisan manner, who wants to get things done for the people in the state of Wisconsin. And that's what I've really ran on, is being that bipartisan person. We have a job here to do, and that is to make Wisconsin better. Gaveling in and out of a session isn't going to help anybody, whether you're on the Democratic side or the Republican side. I think that from going on now, I think that we need to work together to get things done.
Thank you. Representative Billings.
Well, I've been fortunate to find a way to navigate the system that Rick talked about, and it's true. A lot of Democratic bills, good bills, haven't gotten hearings, and I think that's wrong. I think if you have a good idea, you should be able to have a hearing, have people come and testify on behalf of your bill. And I've been fortunate to find champions on the other side of the aisle who have worked with me to get legislation through each session. In fact, this last session, law enforcement asked me to help usher through a bill, to author a bill, and to help get a bill through that would increase the charges for dealing fentanyl. And so I found my champions, Senator Wongard, a Representative Spiros, two Republicans who worked with me. We got hearings. I have bipartisan support for my bills, and I'm able to get things done. More of us need to work that way.
Thank you. Now we go to Ken Kazarowski of WKBT News 8 Now. A question for Representative Billings.
This election cycle, we have seen some Republican candidates for office in this state advocate for the Wisconsin Elections Commission to be abolished. Should the WEC be abolished, and should its replacement, whatever that might be bipartisan?
Well, the history on this is interesting because the Republicans are the ones who actually set up the Wisconsin Elections Commission on the way it's set up now, because they weren't happy with they felt like they didn't have enough control over the old system. So now we have a system where three Republicans are appointed, three Democrats are appointed, and of course it leads to sort of blocks sometimes where things don't flow the way that they could. I don't know that it's ideal. I like a system where you have retired judges who have a certain ethic, where they're not necessarily engaged in partisan politics be the advisory board. Yeah, this has been a difficult couple of years.
Thank you. Mr. Woodard.
Definitely, this should be a bipartisan thing as well. Like Representative Billings said, there's three from both sides that sit on that board. Abolishing it, I'm not quite sure. If we do need to abolish it, I don't have that answer for you right now. I do need to do a little bit more research on that particular topic. But I'm all for doing the right thing when it comes to, you know, the Elections Commission.
Thank you. Let's head to Joe Minnie of WXOW News 19. A question for Mr. Woodard.
Basically, I'm going to the 1849 law regarding the state's stance on abortion. What is your position on that current law, and what do you think should be done about it?
I am pro-life, and I believe in exceptions for rape, incest, and in the cases of life of the mother. And this is what will guide me as representative of the assembly.
Thank you. Representative Billings.
Yes, the 1849 law that's on our books is a draconian law. It was created before women had the right to vote, before women could serve in legislative office. And it criminalizes abortion, except in case of death of the mother. So when I was in the assembly this last session, I was co-author of a bill that would get rid of that 1849 law. Unfortunately, Republicans would not give that a hearing. My feeling on this is that this is a private decision that should happen between a woman and her doctor, a partner if she has one, or a faith leader if she has one. And there's no place for legislators in that examining room. We do not belong there. We should not be there.
Thank you, Representative Billings. We go to Bob Heiss of the La Crosse Tribune, a question for Representative Billings.
I wanted to get back to bipartisanship a little bit, but I want to phrase it that let's say the election is over and one party still has a major majority to the point of what it is. What couple things do you think could actually be done in tackling some of these things that can't be done in special session? What do you think the legislature could accomplish in a bipartisan manner?
Well, I think we've already done some, I've been able to work in a bipartisan manner on a lot of issues. For example, our drug abuse epidemic in Wisconsin. As part of the Governor Walker's task force, I was able to help usher through 30 pieces of legislation. We were able to do that in a bipartisan manner. John Nygren and I were talking to our caucuses and about the importance of this importance for people in Wisconsin and families in Wisconsin who had friends and family members who were suffering from substance abuse. So that's one thing. I think actually in my experience, a lot of kind of bipartisan work happens behind the scenes, and I'll continue to do that. I was elected to leadership this past spring, and I was fortunate to have letters of congratulation and texts from not only Democrats, but also Republicans in leadership, too. So I'll continue doing that.
Thank you. Mr. Woodard.
Yeah, bipartisanship again. Really important thing to move things forward. One thing that I could give you a great example of would be the legalization of marijuana. I am running on the Republican ticket. Very few of my fellow cabinet members would probably go for that. I would reach across the aisle to our Democratic people who want to push a bill forward because it's something that I believe in. You know, it's something that if we do again in a responsible manner, we can do great things. We have models all around us to follow. And that specific issue is something that I would reach across the aisle to get Wisconsin on the map. And even the area of La Crosse, we have two great businesses that are pioneers in this kind of business. But again, bipartisanship, something that I am very passionate about.
Thank you. Next, we go to Ezra Wall of Wisconsin Public Radio, and we'll start this next round with Mr. Woodard.
All right, Mr. Woodard, there are not a whole lot of farmers in the city of La Crosse in your district, but Wisconsin and surrounding areas of the La Crosse area are very agricultural. What would your top legislative priority be on behalf of those Wisconsinites who have family members in agriculture?
Yeah, I think that we really need to, you know, focus on things not just in our district, but outside the district, and one of them obviously being farmers. I think farming is becoming something that's sometimes a cost burden on these families, and then we need to do more things as a state to help them, you know, whether it be grow corn, raise those calves that produce milk. There's things that the state can do to help out those families who are struggling in the farm situations. I know that there's a few just outside the city. Some of them are struggling. But again, as a state, we can do better. We can help those farmers.
Thank you. Representative Billings.
Well, first, I would work to help with mental health issues with farmers. Unfortunately, the suicide rate among farmers is higher than the majority of the population, and I think we can do more. One piece of legislation that we looked at and supported together, Republicans and Democrats, was to have classes for farmers where they could be together, they could learn together, but also develop relationships and a support system. And that was on the colleges and university committee. So that wasn't even on the agricultural committee. Also, I think we need to help farmers as we expect a better water quality for them and for their practices on the farm. I think that we can help support that with some funding, whether it's providing barrier strips or workforce. I mean, farmers, like everybody else, are looking for workers, and I think that we can help with that.
Thank you. Let's go to WIZM's Rick Solem, a question for Representative Billings.
All right, Wisconsin's minimum wage is $7.25 an hour. For tipped employees, I think it's $2.33 an hour, right over the Mississippi River. Minnesota has a two-tiered minimum wage for large and small employers, and one that's adjusted each year due to inflation. I believe for large employers, it's going up to $10.59 an hour next year. And there's no tip minimum wage in Minnesota. So the minimum wage is the minimum wage if you're a waitress or whatever. What do you feel the state should be doing, if anything, in terms of the minimum wage?
Yeah, think about that. When I was a waitress working at a supper club at age 16, I was paid $2.01 an hour, plus tips. And so it really hasn't, we haven't gone much farther from there. The minimum wage in Wisconsin at $7.25 has been that way since 2009. So I've been on a couple bills to increase the minimum wage. And, you know, market is taking care of some of this. So when you look at places like Walmart or Target, where they're paying double the minimum wage just to get employees in the door, I think some of that is taken care of by the market, but I would increase the minimum wage.
Thank you. Mr. Woodard.
Absolutely for increasing the minimum wage. As we see the rate of inflation going up sky high now, having a roof over your house is hard to do on minimum wage. And like Representative Billings had said, there's a market out there who pay more than the minimum wage, doubles, triples sometimes than the minimum wage. But I think as a state, we do need to examine that and raise it, because there are some places who aren't market driven as some of these bigger corporations are. Specifically, I know Quick Trip, they pay a great wage to just people starting out. If we could have something similar to that across the state, I think that we wouldn't have the workforce shortages that we have right now.
Thank you. Let's go to Ken Kazarowski of WKBT News 8 now, and this question round will begin with Mr. Woodard.
I want to circle back to something that Representative Billings mentioned in an answer about a different question, but opioid deaths are on the rise, and fentanyl is captured the minds and words of many advertisements. What can you do in state government to reduce demand for opioids?
Yeah, I think reducing the demand for opioids comes down to education, educating the people, and helping those that have opioid addiction problems rehabilitate and get out of that circle. Also, I think to combat this growing epidemic of opioids, heroin, fentanyl, I do think that we need to increase the funding to our police who combat this issue. Here in La Crosse, this is a juncture of two major interstates, and we see, unfortunately, a lot of that come through the area. And I think this is the perfect time now to increase the funding to those policemen so they have the tools and the training to stop that in its tracks.
Thank you. Representative Billings.
Well, this is an area where I have spent a lot of time and a lot of my career, whether it was on the county board where I helped set up our OWI treatment court, or in the assembly where I was appointed to Governor Walker's HOPE task force, where, as I said, we passed 30 pieces of legislation together. I'm the ranking member on the Substance Abuse and Prevention Committee, where I've worked closely with my Republican chair to make sure that we could get some more legislation passed and educate people in the legislature about this crisis. With the opioid settlement money coming into Wisconsin, I am feeling positive about the future. I was happy that the Joint Finance Committee seemed to work with the governor's department, and 85% of their suggestions were accepted, including more medically assisted treatment, more residential treatment for people, more funding for law enforcement. There are a lot of things that I think we're moving forward on that are going to be positive in the upcoming year and more.
Thank you. We go now to Joe Minnie of WXOW News 19, and we'll start this round of questioning with Representative Billings.
A very similar question, but regarding crime and the drug problems. How do you assess La Crosse's current crime and drug problems? And do you think local law enforcement has what they need to keep the community safe in regards to how state is funding them?
Well, I'm going to go back to something that I spoke about earlier. I received a call from two of our investigators, Mancuso and Tolstead, and they said, we're having problems with really bad actors in our community. And we need to, and they're dealing fentanyl. Fentanyl is an incredibly dangerous, strong drug that dealers were using to lace their what they were selling. And it increased our overdose. The majority of our overdoses included fentanyl. So they asked if I would increase the penalty for fentanyl so that it was on a parity with drugs like heroin and cocaine. So I did some research into it with my staff, and I said, yeah, I see a problem here. And so I got my Republican champions. The investigators came and testified in the Capitol, did a wonderful job. I got bipartisan support for that legislation. But yeah, I see problems, and I hear problems in La Crosse. And so I'm working to do more.
Thank you. Mr. Woodard.
Yeah, the rise in crime here locally is quite concerning and quite frankly unacceptable. But I think this is somewhat driven by, you know, the judges and prosecutors who refuse to hold those criminals accountable. You see them get arrested and a day later they're out on a cash bond, signature bond. I think that we need to continue obviously supporting law enforcement and hire more law enforcement officers to combat these issues. I'd preface this too by saying that I was recently endorsed by the Wisconsin Professional Police Association for my views on this particular topic. I think that there's a lot of area to improve across the state. And I think here we're lucky enough in this city to have such a wonderful police department who is, you know, breaking down barriers and who is, you know, something to look after for other departments through the state.
Thank you. Let's head over to Bob Heiss of the La Crosse Tribune, and we'll start this next round with Chris Woodard.
I might be getting back to the surplus here, but you know, given that all the prices are increasing the way they are and the interest rates, everything's increasing, what can and should the legislature do in the short term if to help people in Wisconsin?
Yeah, going back to that surplus, the 5.6 million, I think that we'll have is projected at the end of this year or whatnot. You know, I think focusing on sending that money or a portion of that money back to the people to get them through this time where prices are so high is something, you know, that is needed. We have to do that. And I think coming into the next session, I think that we all can settle on this because out on the campaign trail, we've seen and we have heard from these people that they are struggling. You know, you go to the store and prices are double what they were last year. And we're coming up on two major holidays where families, you know, purchase a lot of things. And, you know, they have families over to have celebrations. And some of these people are just not going to be able to afford it. And that, to me, is unacceptable as well. So I think as a state, we do need to address that. Like yesterday, not tomorrow, but yesterday.
Thank you. Representative Billings.
Yes, so the governor has offered a lot of ideas to give relief. In my office, I've heard from people, and I'm very sympathetic. For example, a woman who contacted me this last spring who lives in a trailer, who said her heating bill had gone up so high that she was worried that she wasn't going to be able to pay it on a fixed income. And luckily, not luckily, but we were able to get her in touch with Cooley Cap and some programs there that could help with relief from heating bills. But I am in agreement with Governor Evers that there, although this is we're in worldwide inflation, there are some things that we can do in the state, including sending surplus back, including providing a tax break for middle-class families next year and those who might be struggling, including a gas tax holiday. There's a lot of things that we can do, and I think everything should be on the table to provide relief to families.
Thank you. We go to Ezra Wall of Wisconsin Public Radio, and the round begins with Representative Billings.
Representative Billings, we've heard earlier in this debate about the number of referenda that are on various ballots across the state regarding school funding. And here in La Crosse, the largest one, which you've both already commented on. But in the coverage of that that referendum in our local area, we've seen it come up that school board members are actually not allowed to talk to us as members of the media. Only their board president is allowed to speak on behalf of the board. Would you favor on a state level some sort of sunshine law or some sort of free speech law that would disallow that practice, that would ensure that elected officials could not be barred from talking to the media?
Well, so the school board, their system of government is interesting to me. Serving on local government on the county board, I didn't experience that where we had to be in agreement and weren't allowed to talk to the press. So I don't know that I fully understand all the ins and outs of how their system of governing works. But I do know that as a state legislator, I try to, as much as possible, give local control to the locals. I don't like being a state representative and putting mandates on school boards or on county boards or city councils, telling them what to do. I think they should pick their own form of government. And maybe this will make the school board kind of take a second look at what they're doing, because I do believe it's important to have good communication with the press, and I've been a supporter of sunshine laws in the past.
Thank you. Mr. Woodard.
Absolutely. I think that we do need to support those sunshine laws because we elected the school board members, and we should have every right to talk to them, to email them, to call them, and let them know what we think. How else does an elected official hear from their constituents? I'm sure that the school board members aren't going out knocking on doors, talking to those people. I think it's very important that they have an open door where you and me can talk to them and tell them how we feel, because there's other issues other than the referendum happening in the school district. And I think to make the proper decisions, you need to hear from the people.
Thank you, Mr. Woodard. Now we go to Rick Solom of WIZM, a question that begins with Mr. Woodard.
All right, Anthony, do you want my deep dive question, or do you want my, this is the last question of the debate?
Go for the deep dive.
Okay. All right, where did it go? And I'm going to find it.
I can't answer any Brewers questions for you.
Right. Yeah, there's some Brewers news today. Anyway, society is just different now than it was when I was a kid. My mom stayed home with three boys, including me, a full-time job in itself, but dad worked and we had a great childhood. That's not the case now for most people, and this isn't a minimum wage question, but both parents have to work nowadays. But if they have children, they need childcare, but often the second job barely pays the childcare and then some, right? So how could we solve this childcare issue?
Yeah, that is a great question. It's something that I had struggled with for the last 5 years. Both me and my wife worked full-time. We made a good wage, and every week we were paying $200 for care of our daughter, which I'm not complaining, but it was wonderful, wonderful care. I think, you know, again, going back to my employer has set a great example for other good companies through the state. We heard the employees of Quick Trip. We needed a place to take our kids for daycare because we couldn't find anyone else. So our company opened a daycare center and set a great example. And I think as a state, though, I think the state can also provide incentives for people to open up more daycares, provide more care to these families who need help at a reduced or lower rate.
Thank you. Representative Billings.
The U.S. Chamber of Commerce, which is not a lefty organization, has said that government needs to invest in early childhood education, that that investment benefits two generations. It benefits parents who can have a safe, secure place that they can afford to leave their children, and they'll be able to enter the workforce. And it's good for those kids. I mean, little children are not lumps of clay. Their brains are developing in the first 5 years, and it's important. That's when most brain development happens, and it's important that we have quality places for children to go during the day. So, and part of that is teachers. I mean, unless we're suffering from a problem with not having enough people going into that profession, and unless we can pay them a decent wage, and I had legislation that gave them a break on schooling, we're not going to have the teachers that we need to take care of our kids.
Thank you, Representative Billings. Now we go to Ken Kazurowski of WKBT News 8 Now, a question that begins with Representative Billings.
All right, as the hour is wrapping up soon, I want to get a little philosophical with the candidates here. According to global research, the U.S. has an income tax burden of about 8% for a family of four with a single earner. That 8% mark ranks just 35th in the world. Now, a recent report interviewed citizens in countries with much higher tax burdens in those families of four, some in the 20s and even 30s. And those people celebrated their higher tax rates because it paid for robust healthcare and education. Do you believe this nation and the state of Wisconsin give its taxpayers the best possible return on investment for the taxes that they currently collect?
Representative Billings.
I think that we do have a good return on investment in Wisconsin for the taxes that we pay, especially I think under Governor Evers. We've been able to do more work on roads. We've heard from people who said, as Governor Evers will say, just fix the damn roads. And you know what? We've done it. So I think that with things like that, we're doing better on the federal government level. We're now able to negotiate with drug companies to make sure that our folks are paying what's reasonable, what other people in other countries get to pay for drugs, and we're not paying the highest drug prices in the world. I think we're doing better at addressing climate issues. And so I think that, you know, it's not perfect, but I think we live in a great country and we're getting a good return on investment.
Thank you. Mr. Woodard.
We do get a good return on investment, but I think that we can do better. We have great healthcare, we have great roads, we have great public services that are provided to us because of our taxes. But again, I think we can do better. You know, there's always room for improvement in my philosophy. The best is not always the best. You can do better. Going forward, I just want to circle back to, you know, things that we heard on the campaign trail just in the last couple of weeks. I heard concerns from a couple constituents about Representative Billings' tax delinquency. I think, you know, obviously that deserves more answers. There was answers put out, but I think that there needs to be a deeper dive into that. The media covered it a little bit, but I think that there's still more questions about how this got to the point it did, why it wasn't paid, things like that.
Representative Billings, a 30-second follow-up.
Yes, I have put out a statement that I paid my taxes. They were paid late with penalties. And I appreciate people in this community who have been supportive of me and said, everybody makes mistakes, but you made it right. And I think if my opponent is so concerned about my issues, I'd like to also have answers on why he had a four-year restraining order against him that was finally just dropped 3 years ago. It'd be nice to have answers on that too.
Mr. Woodard, 30 seconds.
Again, yeah, that's a deep dive. But there was some circumstances that happened to keep it private and protect the privacy of the other party. You know, we came to an agreement, things have been settled, there's been no incidents since then. I think that tactic has been tried in the past, and I gave a perfect statement on it, and nothing has come up in the past.
All right, candidates, before we get to closing statements, Rick Solem has promised that he has a good closing question, and I can give 30 seconds to each candidate for this one, beginning with Mr. Woodard.
Do you think I'm going to say something nice question, which would be perfect right here, but I want to ask, why did you choose to debate?
Mr. Woodard.
Why did I choose to debate? Well, it's a great avenue for everybody in the community, obviously it's not being a live streamer right now, but tomorrow, it'll be a great opportunity for them to hear the final things before they go out and vote if they haven't voted already. And it's great to maybe see them in person. We don't always get the chance to go to every door in the community. And maybe we don't know who one of the other parties is. This might change one of their minds. And I think it's a big step in the democratic process to have this.
Representative Billings.
I think this is a wonderful opportunity for people to understand who we are as candidates, what our experiences and our views on different issues. So I always welcome doing debates. It's unfortunate that not all Republicans in the race this time around are on that page, but I think it's important for the public.
Representative Billings, I'm going to come back to you because it's time for closing statements. Representative Billings, I can give you up to 1 minute for your closing statement.
Thank you very much. And thank you for this opportunity to be here tonight for this debate. 11 years ago, I was elected to the Wisconsin State Assembly, and it's been an honor serving the people of the 95th Assembly District. In my time, most recently, I've been able to accomplish a lot in the minority, notably bringing $5 million of state funding for our La Crosse Center expansion, working to bring COVID vaccine for our docs when others were getting it and we needed it too. I was able to work with the administration to bring that to us in a timely manner. Working with my Republican champions across the aisle to get legislation passed every year that I have been in office. And most recently, receiving the Leader Ethics Award locally for my work across the aisle and addressing needs of my constituents. And I'm running again because there's a lot more I want to do, and I'm asking for the people of the 95th to vote for me again.
Thank you, Representative Billings. Mr. Woodard.
I want to thank everybody that helped out tonight, making this a possibility. I also want to thank our forefathers for putting forward such a great constitutional process where we have this opportunity to speak in front of everybody and where we have a process where everybody can vote for who they want and not just place somebody in power. I'm looking forward to being that new person in Madison, being the energetic, passionate person and making a change here in the 95th District. I know it's not going to be easy for me, but I'm speaking to all of you right now and I guess begging you, vote for Chris. I think it's time for a change, and I'm the guy to fit that bill.
Thank you, Mr. Woodard. For more information on this election and all elections coming up, be sure to follow the continuing coverage from our media partners, WKBT News 8 Now, WXOW News 19, the La Crosse Tribune, Wisconsin Public Radio, and WIZM. Thank you so much for thank you so much to the League of Women Voters of the La Crosse area for their support of this debate. Thank you, of course, to Mr. Woodard and Representative Billings for their participation in this debate. Most of all, thanks to you, our audience, for joining us today and for taking the time to learn more about the candidates in this election. For more information about voting in this election, please visit myvote.wi.gov. From the University of Wisconsin-La Crosse, I'm Anthony Tchaikovsky.
Thanks for listening to special coverage of the 2022 election right here on Wisconsin Public Radio.